Barbara here, Decker Rose, Adam Myron, Mary Vaughn.
Present.
Dorothy Ziegelbauer.
What is coming? Wonders for the city of Dr. Thomas Kane. Please come with us.
United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any public comment this evening? No? Okay. We shall move on to routine business. I need a motion for the approval of the board meeting minutes from July 5th, 2017, and July 26th, 2017. So moved. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
I just want to comment, they were pretty detailed, so thank you. I appreciate it.
It must have been those superintendent. I'm teasing you, aren't I?
Okay, the administrator's report, the business administrator, Mark?
I really only have one thing. I just wanted to update the board that the auditors returned last week and the week before to finish the data collection, and they are done as far as what they need to collect in the district. So outside of anything that they find that they need additionally, we are now at the point where they're putting together a financial report.
Do we have any idea as to when they expect it to be done?
It's usually around the beginning of October that they have it done. We then have a chance to sit with the audit committee to review it before the October meeting.
Okay.
And that's it for me.
Me?
Yep.
Okay, so I have a few things to update the board on. I just wanted to comment and thank Mr. Schrammel, who devised new schedules this year. And the schedules, they streamline both buildings, which is a very hard thing to do when you have some shared staff working in both buildings. For example, the 7th and 8th grade students, the schedule is locked throughout the day up until period 8 that rotates. And we talked about this, and he took it and put it in a schedule. It'll assist in the transition to the high school for them, as it's, you know, more structured. Students in grade 9 to 12 will follow the schedule on a rotational basis. But it's important to know that the lunch will be 30 minutes long for both buildings, and recess at GGM will be approximately 20 to 25 minutes a day. And I'll put that in simple language on the website, too, even though the schedules are posted up there.
Can I ask you a question about that? So it's 20 to 25 minutes daily, just in light of the conversation that we were having earlier. Is that at the discretion of the person who's monitoring the lunch, or is there some way that we can sort of fend off these people who are claiming that we're having these short? I mean, I understand perfectly that sometimes everybody buys lunch, and so it takes longer for the kids to get outside. There are some people that are looking to criticize us and less forgiving. Is there some way that we can institute something or put something out there that guarantees they're getting 20 to 25 minutes a day? Is that not?
I'm trying to think.
I don't know what that would be.
I would hate to make a guarantee.
Right,
someone is looking to say, yeah, I can work for a guarantee. I mean, we will strive, you know, to do that. I mean, we feel recess is important for the kids. And we just have to be cognizant of the supervision. You know, if there's some kids ready to go and some kids are still leaving, that's what we have to keep in mind.
Right.
Can I ask a question in the opposite direction? Was there ever a 6-minute recess?
Not to my knowledge. I would say, I would never say that it could not have happened. There may be instances where many
of was in the yard.
Or many of the kids bought lunch. And it takes them longer to get through their lunch than their typical lunch day.
What was the allotted time prior to the new schedule?
It was built into the 38 minutes that the students ate lunch.
Okay.
So recess was part of that. Now the students have a solid 30-minute lunch,
right.
Plus an additional 20 to 25 minutes.
So there should be no
guarantees.
No, thanks for clarifying.
And it's built in over two different periods for K through
6. And it's also important to know that the schedules, Mondays and Fridays, will always be the same. follow.
For 7 to 12.
For 7 to 12. They don't vary. And it's really a Monday through Friday schedule. It's not on letter days.
It's been a long time since we've had Monday through Friday schedule.
Well, it's so much easier in the elementary. I know it's so much easier. It's just so, because I never knew what day it was with holidays and
specials pinned up on the board. Yeah. Like, what's today?
And anytime there is a holiday or snow day, it just moves on to a Tuesday. It moves on to a Wednesday. It moves on to a Thursday.
Right.
Then whatever.
Right.
It's gone.
It's easier. Sure. Yeah.
Can you hear us okay?
I'm straining to hear some of it, yes.
Okay. We'll talk a little louder. Use our mics.
Thank you.
Also, both buildings are very close to being totally prepared for the opening of school, and I'd just like to thank all of those who have diligently worked this summer to prepare our buildings. If you've seen them and walking outside and running things back and forth, this, you know, our operations and maintenance staff have done a wonderful job. And this includes the summer workers who were hired to assist. They're really a good crew. The new library media center is near completion, hosting a new Mac lab. There are aging Macs that will enhance our programs and opportunities for our students. And anytime the board would like to see it, it's not totally put together. We'd love to show it to you, though. There's still boxes of books that are being shelved. An update on the test scores. We still have not received the test grades for grades 3 through 8, ELA, or math. Only science scores at this point for 4 and 8 science. But I would anticipate they're coming out by the end of next week.
Is this late for the English and math?
We are mandated to give teacher evaluation scores to them by September 1st. And you need these scores from the state to do that. So they're going to push it to the end.
It's crazy.
And like I said, I will share out the scores to the board at the closest board meetings to when we get them, including the Regents scores. I'll share those out.
Did they take the, if all the students take the ones who will retake the honors, they took the honors?
Yes, we just don't have the results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with that, what we were talking about before, with the scores in general, I believe we got them last year, I believe we got the scores last year around the first week of August. So teachers are able to get that data.
Right.
Teachers don't have that data. It's New York State hasn't shared.
What's up with that? What's up, New York?
Yeah.
On a different note, the administrative team and operations and maintenance directors, we had got together over the course of the past few months talking about security at the high school. There's many doors that the kids can exit, whether they're coming over to the nurse, they're coming to the gym, seniors, hopefully, not going down the hill to their cars. What we did is the doors will be alarmed from the inside. Students are going to have to exit through the front doors of the building. It helps us keep, it tightens it up. It
keeps them in the building.
It tightens it up. We're very fortunate here. We have very, very good students who, they're going to the nurse, they go to the nurse. I would say 99.99% of the time, but we just wanted to tighten them up so we have a better eye on things. So those doors, just want to let you know. Teachers, too, will have to exit out the front door or through the business office because those doors will be opened. They are coordinated with the fire alarm system, so they can be opened and no problem that way. And then the last thing I'd like to give to the board, I did make contact with Mrs. Terry Reynolds from Orange Ulster BOCES to get a date. She is available on Tuesday, September 12th for a strategic goal planning meeting, if that date works for board members. If you'd like to let me know, check your schedules. I'll shoot out an email to the rest, to the whole board for those members that aren't here. And then if people, the time might, 5:30 works for people, or we might have to do it a little bit later.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time to discuss it, but Nancy had wanted to kind of discuss this a little bit, that just the process more than the actual goal setting.
Yes, I believe we already met twice on it, and we understand everybody's feelings to push the goal, but we all. to have seven people and an administrator come down and put a paper. I think it's like impossible. So I'm thinking of a committee on two board members with an administrator to kind of sit down, put it on paper. I'll be sharing with the whole board to tweak it and go over it, and then I'll prove it at a meeting. That's my thought on it.
That's a judgment. Although in a page are restricted, I think if there's more people, board members who want to participate, who are equal to make the meeting.
Isn't the problem then?
Is it more than two? I thought it was three, because I thought it was
four.
More than two would be three.
Four. Right, because four is a quorum, right?
And then if you vote, if you have a quorum, you can vote. What makes a public meeting is three or more members. It makes a public meeting.
It can be checked under the attorney.
It could be checked under the attorney, it could be wrong.
I'd be willing to approve that.
I believe you're right on track. It's either two or three. I'll double check it.
I thought it was more than three, but we'll check it.
But the audit committee had to have the board members on the committee.
And then if a third person in the past has been there, if there was a third, there was an outside person.
Well, I mean, perhaps we could form a committee and then that would have to be a public meeting, but we can work that around the committee's schedule easier. We would need to put a meeting together with fewer people to try to schedule it.
A committee tonight?
My only concern with that is that we're missing three board members and we don't know how they feel about it, whether they want to take an active role or not.
Right.
So,
and they want to take an active role, then they could join the committee and a public meeting.
Right.
I don't think seven.
The only problem with making it public meeting, you have to have four members, is that it's those four members' opinions. It may not necessarily be shared with the rest of the board. So it might be best to keep the committee as tight as possible for the draft purposes. So it's not a public meeting.
Good point. Let's get the answer on the three or four, I guess.
Okay.
I don't want to decide. Does anybody have interest in being you expressing this?
I'd like to do it.
Because I need to get back to Terry Reynolds too.
Right.
So if the board wants to go with the committee first, how about I tell her?
Well, you're not in the real either. Terry has some information that she's already got for us.
Which
is
on
the first place.
This is very good.
So I don't want to commit her to that date. I mean, I'll tell her I'll get back in touch with her need her. I forgot one thing, the enrollment. This is the time of year when the enrollment changes a little bit. So the enrollment that I had sent you last week had changed. We had two kindergarten students enrolled. We're hearing things of two high school students who are possibly one in seventh and one in ninth.
A tuition student?
No. Resident students, yeah.
One entering seventh and one entering ninth?
Correct.
Okay.
We don't have any formal documentation on that. So I'll give you updated numbers as we get closer to the week before.
Do we have two new seniors? I just noticed, I don't have the report in front of me, I just jotted down questions, but we went from 26 juniors to 28 seniors. I thought I heard some casual comments returning, so I counted one. I'm sorry.
How did we get, that's just so, is it a tuition student for you?
No, resident coming back.
Resident coming back.
School.
Oh, okay.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's what I did exactly what Meg said, and that's what I was talking about in the report.
Right.
Because to look at this just looks
it's interesting to note, particularly the totals, you know, but like to make a comparison of like kindergarten from last year to this year, you look at it and you're like, what happened? There's just, that's all the kids that are coming into kindergarten, you know.
Yeah. And actually, Mr. Sharon took a call too today from a gentleman who is coming in, plans to come into Winnebago, a kindergarten student.
Yeah, the student, they registered in New City, and they need to come in.
Okay. So then we'll be up to 13 in kindergarten?
If he comes in. I mean, I had talked to a non-resident parent, high school student from Monroe, who was interested in coming down to follow up today.
Okay.
However, he wants to know if I can get creative, more creative, to get the tuition down. At this point, he is frustrated with the taxes and spending on drugs, and it's hard for him, even if his child qualifies for a scholarship. Right now, he was being very honest. He said, if you or your board come up with any creative ways, let me know. I said, I sure will.
We already have like payment plans and stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's
kind of
the best.
Mr. Metani works with them.
He wants to push it for one and tuition for another, you know.
Right.
Our tuition is based on Seneca thoughts, I believe, is that right?
Yeah. What we come to as a
it
you're saying as far as how we control that?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the as I said, we approved the tuition we need to increase the bill each year, if we were there was some type of pressure that we had to increase it by a certain percentage.
Is Dave to tell us that we have to increase it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We don't have the right to...
It's not as flexible with non-resident students as it is with other districts.
Contracts
different. Okay.
So our policy with the tuition rate,
it's in the board policy. I'm not recalling right now
it's
exactly
the
what the
but that's
what
we approved, but where did that come from the state?
I believe that it was citing a state law in the board policy. I have to look at it again, but I know that's why we had increased it as much.
Maybe once it's in place, but my recollection when we were setting it is that we had some flexibility. I thought
In setting it
originally, but maybe from year to year there's a mandatory adjustment that has to be made, but maybe the original amount that we set, I just recall, I didn't think it was like a state mandate amount.
It goes to the board policy, and again, we can look at it, we can report back to the board on what that is and what flexibility we have there.
Okay.
We should look at it, because
With the other public schools, I mean, we made comparisons to the private schools here, and with the scholarships available, it does put us below any of it. And it's a unique thing. There's not a lot of, now, of course, the public schools are going after non-resident students because their enrollment is dropping, but it's not that prevalent across the board in every public school that they take non-resident students.
I think we kind of did it first, too. So we were comparing to private schools when we set, but then, since the time that we did it, other local schools have done it, too, and whether they cognizantly did it or not, but they undercut our rate, yeah.
Well, they did it on purpose.
We should re-examine it.
Because that's our goal.
And then I just wanted to speak to the board about an email retention policy. We had talked about that. And I did get some information from both our IT person, and I spoke briefly to the attorney. She was going to try to find policies to give me as examples. She said there are not a lot out there, but typically districts could go with like a 6-year email retention policy. And I thought that was a good number to go with. The emails, I did talk to our IT person, they could be archived. So you could retrieve emails that way too. We do not have to purchase an additional server to archive them. It's done in the cloud. So.
And wouldn't cost us anything.
No. So what I, you know, I just wanted to share that information. What I will do is get a formal written policy if the board is interested from her, for the board to review and make comments, and then we can review it again if the board is okay with that.
I support that. Did you not get into the details of the policy too, but in terms of the 6-year, you and I spoke briefly about this, like what happens if I'm a teacher, I get an email, and I delete it?
It's retrieved.
It is retrieved.
I asked
them. Okay.
And I don't want to.
Yeah.
I delete things too, but
yeah.
It's really long then.
Right, yeah.
It's in the cloud.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll look at further details with her, to write it up.
That big brother in.
Or as the kindergartners like to say, it's not. They each think they have one.
Yep. Item 1, warrants, transfer bids. There are none. Okay. Item 2, CPSC and CSC. Lovely. 2.01 to 2.3. We need a motion to approve item 2.01 through 2.33.
I'll make a motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Item 2.34, these are lists of staff members that the board needs to appoint so that they can sit on the Committee of Special Education on behalf of the students during the meetings for the school year. And those lists are included in your packet. Mm-hmm.
Do we have a motion to approve item 2.34?
I have a question.
Do you have the motion?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
How do we choose the parent member? How is that person selected? Do you advertise that to the community or?
Parent member is a parent of a student who is classified student. So we reach out to parents, and I will tell you from my experience, it's very hard to get parent members. Typically, you have one or two that may be available to attend meetings. It's not mandated anymore.
Okay. Parents have the right to waive
that.
Yeah. Like the parents who are attending the meeting for their child can waive the
parent members.
Yes.
Yeah. I used to tell parents I will do my very best to try to get one, but I will tell you that many parents aren't working and it's hard to get them to free their schedules.
Understood. Okay.
Did we approve 2.34 yet?
We had a motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
And 2.35 is very similar. There's just the subcommittee on special education. But you can have a subcommittee hold meetings.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, school breakfast and lunch prices.
Not going up this year. Mr. Martavia checked and his research, keeping them the same.
Crunched all the numbers.
Well, we had to increase it last year because there was a certain threshold that you need to increase your prices. If you're below a certain threshold, then require that you increase your loan prices, which had occurred last year, and that isn't the case this year, and we're comfortable with where we are.
Yeah. When do you get breakfast?
Some students are free labors.
Oh, okay.
All right. Typically, kids rarely do they come in wanting to buy breakfast.
Right.
I might come in for a buck.
Dollar me.
Do we have a motion to approve item 3.1?
Motion.
Second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So with the 4.1, the reserve accounts, Mr. Matetti brought copies. Again, we have two lines there that are blank. The board established two accounts, but had not funded those accounts. So he made copies. And I realize the board would probably like to discuss.
So let's make a motion to approve 4.1.
Mark, do you have an extra copy?
We have to put this D.
Yeah, the numbers have to be in there first.
Oh, I thought we had to do it to discuss it, though. We don't have to do it to discuss because there's no numbers?
No numbers.
Nancy? We can discuss without any sort of motion?
I believe so.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm sure we can.
So Mark, do you want to?
If you don't have numbers, you're not approving anything.
Fine.
So as we had discussed last meeting, you'll see the numbers that we were proposing as far as the in the proposed addition column at the bottom. Two of them are similar. I know that we hadn't really discussed exactly what that number was going to be on the repair reserve. We had landed at $500,000 as being a good amount to put in there. Allison, I know that you had asked for some costs that would be associated with that, that we would need to look at doing in the near future. And in GGM, the roof alone would be $200,000.
Okay.
Roughly. Again, these are with just estimates that we've received.
Sure.
The windows, which were in the building condition survey, would be $175,000, roughly.
Right.
And the steps in the front of Baker, which are three of probably our most immediate concerns, would be $100,000. So already we're right around that amount.
What about the boilers?
Sorry, Mark. The GGM roof, you said 200K. The GGM windows, you said 150?
175.
The boilers are we don't have an exact quote on that, but that would probably be a capital project, most likely. So that's something that we're looking at a little bit longer, further down the line.
Okay, sorry. And then you mentioned something for GFB.
The stairs in front of Baker, the repairs on that would be around $100,000.
Why?
It's removal, it's
a portion of it.
Shoring up those huge columns that are right there.
Plus they're set very funny with sand levels and all that kind of stuff.
That seems like an exorbitant amount to redo a set of stairs.
It's a detailed project that's been put off for years.
It's very, very old though.
Yes.
When are the anticipated dates of doing these things?
Well, we'd be looking at doing it possibly next summer, getting the formal bids on it in anticipation of the community approving the repair reserve at the budget meeting.
I do have a question, a practical question. So let's just say that we agree that $500,000 is an appropriate amount to fund this account with. But what happens if we go out in May and don't get community approval? Where does the $500,000 go?
Well, it depends on the situation that we're in. I mean, there's in emergency situations you can pull from unrestricted fund balance. Otherwise, it's something that we would need to look into incorporating into the budget.
Well, I'm not even talking about where do we get the money from to make the repairs, but I'm just saying that if the community didn't approve this, like what happens
if
to
we
actual
put it out
cash?
And said we wanted to put in 500K and it's not approved by the community.
It would be an unrestricted fund balance, and we'd be looking again at what reserves then to put it into.
We'd have to reach, so the cash would stay with us.
Because right now it's being earmarked. You can go over the 4% as long as you have a spending plan for what you're going to do with the 4% that, you know, the board would be looking to earmark that for the repair reserve. And if it was shot down by the town, then we would just go back into unrestricted fund balance.
I have a question. Is there any reason why we don't have a special vote on transferring the money and we can start the repairs the sooner if it has.
We did budget money into the budget for this year for that, so unless it's an emergency situation where it had to be done right now, then we don't really have the money to do it in our 17-18 budget. We had, like I said, we have money in unrestricted fund balance that you draw from if you need an emergency situation such as that, but.
Maybe you didn't catch her question. I think what she said was, why wouldn't we request a special vote to get community approval in this calendar year instead of waiting until May if we funded it now? Was that accurate,
yes,
Nancy?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Typically the process.
Typically, I mean, we would.
And it was out of the budget vote, that's the typical process.
But if we.
They're not going to be able to pull the stairs apart when school starts.
I was going to say, you can't really do the windows with GGM in session.
It's more of, you're doing it over the summer.
We could do it earlier, and, you know, speaking with the auditors and administration, there isn't a time that we would necessarily be able to do it prior to that, so we didn't really think of.
But with the bidding process, wouldn't that delay it in such a way that those projects wouldn't be able to complete it anyway?
Well, we could still bid it out.
You could still bid it out.
But I'm saying the length of the bidding process and the review process, you'd wind up in late fall anyhow.
No, well, we can start that though.
That's what she's saying, by doing that, we're.
If you go out to a special vote.
Oh, you're saying, well.
You go out to a special vote and you spend the money for the vote, by the time you finish the bidding and review process, you could wind, you'll at best wind up at late fall. If you have to go back out to bid, it could be early winter, and these seem to be projects that you wouldn't be able to do at that point in time anyhow.
We didn't see any advantage or gains from doing it any earlier and doing a special meeting. That's separate from the budget vote.
On the flip side, what happens if we fund these reserve balances, but and an emergency does arise, and we have to, you know, eat into that money, and then the monies aren't there to fund those reserve balances? We just have to amend it, or?
Well, the two of them would be funded immediately.
Right, so it would all come down to the repair.
So it would come down to the repair.
That just would be funded with whatever we would fund it with at that point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although I do understand what you're saying about scheduling, I do see that there could be some strategic advantage to separating the two votes, the vote for this and then the vote for our budget, because I think a lot of people equate the vote for our budget, right or wrong, with every year. Are we going to stay open? Are we going to close? Should we do this? Should we do that? We get a lot of angry people. An array of issues, and it, strategically speaking, it might make sense to sort of isolate these issues and do it at another time when those things aren't such hot button issues in the community and people aren't campaigning. And
like a quiet vote, just have a quiet vote.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just a thought. I see.
Just a thought I threw out there.
Something I would question though too in that situation is the turnout that we would get though. If we're just calling just a special meeting and.
Right, but what do we need to get it passed?
Majority.
Majority vote.
Majority vote, so I mean.
Simple majority.
Yeah, simple majority.
As long as we have a majority of the people who turn out. Maybe some of the people who are anti-school wouldn't turn out, I guess is my point. People who are just kind of, they're not necessarily.
Or maybe some of the parents that would turn out because they don't want their kids' roof leaking.
So why don't we be able to get. We could do a little more research on the voting process because that's new to me as well, on a special vote.
I'd be curious to see what the cost of a vote is.
Putting it out, me too. Yeah.
That's what I was
totally
going to remind you, the cost
totally
of having another special vote.
It probably costs about $5,000, I think, for a vote for a special meeting?
I don't think quite that much, but it will be a few $1,000s. It will probably be around the same as our budget.
We pay for like the inspectors and the machine
and the advertising.
Wasn't that like $3,500 for the regular vote, something like that?
Somewhere around there.
Just a thought.
Okay,
just about it.
The board at the last meeting did not seem in favor of a high amount in the unemployment insurance reserve. Again, just to reiterate where we were coming from to then is that these reserves are exactly that. They're not something that you're planning for. They're something that's there, and most of them have a 10-year plan to them before you need to move the monies out. But we decided to move that down based on the board's opinion to recommending $50,000, so that we do have something in there. Again, if somebody does go on unemployment for one of a million reasons, that they can. If they are on there for the full amount of time, it's $11,000 per person. So that's where that figure came from. And as discussed at the last meeting, the worker compensation reserve, we were proposing $200,000, which it seemed like the board was on board for that, no pun intended. That would leave us with those recommendations with about $250,000 remaining, which I know that the board has discussed in prior meetings, coming up with a strategic plan towards putting any extra money that we did have towards taxpayer relief. So that could be left in earmarked for further discussions in the future, closer to budget time, how we want to go about using that money for a couple of year outlook to a plan.
I'm sorry. Why do we get to wait on that piece? No, I mean, you can't, if we wanted to go back out to the give it back to the public in the vote, obviously that wouldn't happen until the next budget process. But I guess what I'm saying is that, so this is the total unappropriated fund balance is the 1.5, and then you've got
the 4%,
which is generally the permissible reserve balance, so then you have a million to allocate. But I guess what you're saying, so here we've allocated, the proposed additions are 750. Like, why don't we have to allocate the or do we have to, we would basically allocate the 250 as an amount that's gonna in some way, shape or form go back out to the taxpayers.
And like I said, it's if you're gonna be above the 4%, it's as long as you have a spending plan. Again, today we're discussing what we would like to put into the repair reserve. We're not actually putting anything into the repair reserve.
Right.
We're earmarking it, you know, the minutes of this meeting
right.
will dictate so.
Right.
So that would be, come budget time, you know, that money, let's say that we decide to, okay, take this and say that we're gonna do $50,000 for, you know, 5 years, we'll be able to do this. And, you know, we'll look at this again next year if there were to be any extra money that could go into that, or if it's the opposite. And that would be reflected by increasing the appropriate fund balance from what is currently at $600,000.
$650,000.
Okay. And, sorry, Mark, I just don't remember why we came up. I know you had some math that you did for the workers' comp reserve, like how many people that would cover for how long or something.
No,
I just don't recall.
That was the one that we don't have an exact amount per se, because it really varies depending on the given case. So you could wind up having a workers' comp case that could be upward of over $100,000. You could have one that's $5,000. So it really varies, and this is left there so that when you do run into that situation, once, multiple times, it could happen a couple times per year, you have the money there for it.
In the last 5 years, do we know how many times we've hit a situation such as that?
No, but I wouldn't even venture to look at a 5-year history, because you never know when it's gonna happen.
No, I understand. I was just curious what the total outlay has been for this type of expenditure in the last 5 years.
I don't know that. I could get that number. We could look.
Sorry. I think it might be worthwhile looking at that before we decide on a number. Because 200K still seems high to me.
We have to establish it before doing the tax rate, which is the next resolution.
I mean, to Nancy's point, I understand what you're saying, but to Nancy's point, like, even if there could be $1 million claim over the past 5 years, there could be none. This is kind of like more like a
insurance.
Is this one of the accounts that we can transfer in and out of as needed?
Yes.
Be my next
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. These are one of the ones that are easier to move in and out of. So
right.
If we find it, that
right.
there's a use that
it's just a recommended
considered
amount.
More vital. Okay. Then it can be moved.
I thought there was also, and maybe I don't recall when we concluded, I thought there was some talk about the retirement contribution reserve, potentially building that back up because of the retirements that are taking place.
So what happened with that was, because we did have excess,
yeah.
we were able to just pay for that out of last year's budget for the 4 retirees that we had.
Okay.
So I took that away from here.
Okay.
Yep.
So we didn't actually dip into the reserve.
We didn't dip into the reserve, so I didn't feel the need to replenish.
Okay.
And I think it's important to note also the revenue side. I'm very proud of everybody in the district. We did a better job collecting revenues, health services from other districts, and just staying on top of them. So I'm very proud of everybody who took part in that.
Yeah, the access that we had was mainly from the revenue side of the budget. We wound up spending, I know that we discussed this last October, November, trying to be near that 95%. Mm-hmm. So I think we landed right about right there. We were at 94.7% versus 91% last year.
How much additional revenue do we collect versus what we had projected? Can I tell from this?
Well, versus what we projected, we were lower, but we were also lower in what we spent. So that difference mainly came from the revenue side. We were, you can see we were about $430,000 higher on our revenue than our expenditures. That's the fourth and fifth line. Mm-hmm. And the calculation. Mm-hmm. So a big part of that was the health services. We got in a lot of those payments already. We felt comfortable booking those revenues that we didn't, which out of the 17 districts, we only hadn't received as of the end of 2016-17, seven of those, and we've already received another three. And this year.
What health services?
The health services is the billing that we bill out for any students that attend the Tuxedo Park School. And we had a line item in the budget of about $50,000 for that. Mm-hmm. That was one of the revenues that I discussed upping this year, and we did up it to $75,000. Mm-hmm. Maybe something that we can up again next year based off what we collected this year.
Okay.
So.
I have a quick question about the retirement reserve. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If we were ever in a position or decided that we wanted to move ahead and try to incentivize retirement,
I'll stop you right there, only because what that reserve is, and it's a little bit confusing based on the name, it's not a retirement reserve that you use for a retirement incentive. It's for the ERS retirement. So what that funded reserve does is, right now we're in a good time period as far as our ERS and TRS rates. They've both been coming down.
Okay.
But if they were to go back up, and let's say take a big jump of 4 or 5%, something like that, we could be looking at a somewhere between $60,000 to $80,000 cost. That reserve is there so that you don't take that hit in your budget and tax the taxpayers additionally in order to it's not a retirement incentive.
Yeah.
And they did propose actually this year doing a TRS one as well for the teachers, mm-hmm. but that was shot down this year. It is something that we could see approved in the next couple of years, which we may want to consider then. Right now that's just for the employee retirement system.
Okay. And this is to fund the pension plan, right? To fund
yes,
the retirement
it's,
plan.
Yes, it's like I said, in the case where it go, right now it's at about 15.3%, I mm-hmm. believe is the number. 3 years ago, we were at, I think, 21.5%. So that certainly has been some relief in the budget. While those two have been coming down, unfortunately, and there was just a article today on board about how those are coming down, which is great for school districts, but health care costs are skyrocketing, which it seems like we can never get just one good relief to our budget. Mm-hmm. There's always something counteracting it. But yeah, that's what that's for.
Thank you.
Yep. So I guess what this resolution would do would fund the bottom two that you see there, the unemployment and the workers' comp, leaving the other amounts set aside in the unrestricted fund balance for use prior to the end of 17-18.
So we could talk about the $250,000. The board could talk about this.
Yep.
In budget season.
A little prior.
Figure out
prior to that.
Strategize prior to that how
to utilize
the board wants to utilize those dollars.
To offset.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Any questions? Any additional? Are we all okay with the $50,000 for the unemployment and $200 mm-hmm. for workers' comp?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll make that motion. $50,000 in the
It's unemployment.
Unemployment.
You have a resolution?
I know, right there.
Yeah, 4.1.
4.1.
It just needs to be combined.
Yep.
So.
Jason, could you just move it up?
We need to write in the amounts, yeah.
And so Allison, I don't know, do you want to read that resolution with those figures in there?
Sure. Resolve that the Board of Education regarding the funding of district-approved reserved accounts with excess unassigned fund balance as of June 30, 2017, has determined and allocated $200,000 from the unassigned fund balance to the workers' compensation reserve and $50,000 from unassigned balance to the unemployment reserve.
Okay. I'll make that motion.
We have a second?
I will second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next one is our yearly tax rate approval by the Board of Education, which will require signatures after the meeting is fine. Marlene has that signature page, but you can see on here all of the information that goes into the tax rate calculation as well as.
When does that have to be submitted?
That has to be submitted within, I believe it's the next 10 days now. But we already get the ball moving on that pretty much immediately because we need to get, we need to put out a legal ad advertising that the taxes are due by October 1st without suffering a penalty. So really, next, it's this day.
No, I'm just wondering because we're missing two signatures.
Oh, that Arlene, you were telling me, only just requires a majority.
Oh, okay, yep. All right.
Good to know.
Yep.
Do you have a clean sheet with that holds?
Yeah. So the amount that we are actually going to be collecting is $11,250,331. The amount of our STAR reimbursement will be $318,700. The amount of the rollback is $936, which arises at our tax levy that was approved by the voters in May of $11,568,095.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So Arlene is passing the papers around now
for your signatures.
Just give it.
That's a date?
I don't believe that there was.
I think it says we.
Yeah, because it says that it's on today's date.
Do we have to read this aloud, this resolution to confirm tax rate and authorize tax levy?
To confirm the tax rate levy?
I believe there has to be.
You read the numbers.
Yeah. Arlene, do you know differently?
What, the whole one?
Come on, Arlene.
I believe that's supposed to be.
Okay.
We can do it.
There's a mic right by you, Arlene. There's a mic.
Oh, you want me to read?
It has been in the best.
No,
it
hasn't.
Oh, it hasn't.
It doesn't matter. It's fine.
Yeah, what it is that page then now goes to our tax club.
But it was never read out loud.
It wasn't, okay.
No? Okay.
It just sounds so fun.
Tuition, it's the board policy dictate that it needs to be increased at least by what the tax levy increases.
So that was a policy that we put in
our
place.
Board policy.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be.
Now, like I said, I just need to look in there to see if that is, if it's citing a state law.
Okay.
But we'll get you that information.
Yeah, where that came from. Okay.
Well, the CPI ultimately goes into what we need to increase the taxes by, so yes, to some level, but not directly.
All right, moving on. Item 6.1, non-resident tuition students.
Currently, to the start of the 17-18 school year, we have 5 non-resident students.
Do we have a motion to approve item 6.1?
I'll make that motion.
Second?
I'll second it. Just wanted to give somebody else a chance.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You want to stop?
Sure. Number 7.1, this is a resolution to authorize the execution of the 2016-17 APPR implementation certification form. But this is, the board would be approving both Mrs. Argo and myself to sign a form saying that we are abiding by our annual professional performance review plan for 16-17 when the teachers and the administration, Mr. Trammell, receive their scores, which so this is the board is would be approving the signatures that are required. I have to submit this form to the state by August 25th.
Do we have a motion to approve item 7.1?
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Item 8.1 is a resolution of authorization for the execution of the APPR Independent Evaluator Hardship Waiver Application for the 2017-18 school year. What this is we apply for a waiver from the state mandating that an independent evaluator, whom we'd have to pay, comes in and evaluates our teachers and administration. I submitted the waiver last year for this and it was approved. And I indicated it would be an undue financial burden on the district to have to bring in an independent evaluator. And they approved that. So this would authorize the board again to have the board president sign it, union presidents need to sign it, and myself, and to submit it through the business portal.
Strictly out of curiosity, how much does something like that cost?
You could get retired administrators and be paying them per diem. And they're not going to do it for minimal amounts of money. So I wouldn't want to venture to guess, but we haven't had to do it, fortunately. And I don't really want to push them to have to do it.
No, understand. We've never done it here?
No. Okay. Because it just started last year.
Oh, okay.
Under the new APPR
per diem, most people wind up being $850 to $1,200 a day.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
So are all the districts around us going for the hardships as well? Or
I think many of them are trying. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye. Mr. Trammell, I'll pass it to you too, if you don't mind this form.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or the union president needs to sign it. I can read the next one if you'd like. It's rather long, but I'll read it. The item 9.1 is a resolution, select sports merger. Be it resolved, whereas the Tuxedo Union Free School District, Tuxedo, has requested that the Chester Union Free School District, Chester, consider permitting Tuxedo students to participate with Chester Academy students on several athletic teams during the 2017-2018 school year, and whereas Chester has agreed to permit such participation by the Tuxedo students, as long as it is at no additional cost to Chester as a result of such participation, and whereas the New York State Public High School Athletic Association has approved the merger request by Tuxedo and Chester for the merged varsity football, modified A football, boys varsity soccer, girls varsity soccer, boys varsity basketball, girls varsity basketball, and wrestling teams. Therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Education approve the participation of Tuxedo students on the following Chester Union Free School District athletic teams during the 2017-18 school year as merged teams: varsity football, modified A football, boys varsity soccer, girls varsity soccer, boys varsity basketball, girls varsity basketball, and wrestling. And be it further resolved that Tuxedo will be responsible for providing transportation for its students to and from practices at Chester Academy. Tuxedo students will be permitted to travel with the Chester students to and from the Chester Academy for athletic contests, and Tuxedo shall reimburse Chester for any additional costs that result from the participation of Tuxedo students on the above Chester athletic teams during the 2017-18 school year. And be it resolved that the district clerk shall provide a copy of this resolution to the superintendent of schools of the Chester Union Free School District and the New York State Public High Schools Athletic Association. I did speak to the superintendent in Chester, and he has put it before his board last night. Also, a resolution.
Okay. I have a quick question. Is it clearly defined? You know, we have some sort of written agreement with them about this when they talk about like the types of expenses that we could potentially be liable to reimburse Chester for.
We don't have it's anything. It can't be an additional cost for them. We don't have a written agreement. Mm-hmm. It would be such things such as uniforms, mm-hmm. and things of that nature for okay. additional costs.
Okay. All right, do we have a motion to approve item 9.1?
I'll make that motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, item 10.1, nomination of the NISBA Board of Director resolution.
And
we have to pick one. Yeah.
Submitted information.
We're going to take a vote. All right.
May I speak?
Sure.
Absolutely.
I know them both. I know Karen and John Redmond. I sat on the OXBA board with John Redmond, as well as a NISBA rep. He is very dedicated to the education in Orange County, as is Karen, but I would recommend John Redmond.
Does anybody else have any input?
I don't know either of them, but from a blank page perspective, I'll say Karen is the only one who did any campaigning. I got a letter at my home from her. So obviously you know them, I would go with your recommendation, but I came in blind. I was gonna suggest Karen, just because I read her letter and she's the only one who actually...
I didn't receive the letter, so okay. We received it as the
You don't get any mail though.
No,
so.
I received it as well.
I don't get any mail.
You missed the...
Arlene sent it out to us.
Yeah.
It was a letter. It was a joke.
Yeah. And then I got another one like in by post.
Yeah, I got
today.
It in the mail also.
I didn't get any mail.
Both of them are good dedicated people. The only downside on John would be, as happened this year, he could not be reelected. Whereas Karen's on the OU BOCES board, and mm-hmm. that's not something that would happen as easily.
I would ultimately defer to you since you're on this more up and you know them both.
You know, I don't know them.
I'm fine with it. John Redmond.
So,
John it is. So, unanimous.
Do I have a motion to nominate John Redmond?
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
John, it's all you.
And Tuxedo's vote.
The 11.1 item is having the board appoint me to act as clerk pro tempore for special meetings and our exec session meetings when our district clerk is not here.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next item, personnel, you'll see a lot of the appointments that were in our budget preparation that we had put up in the workshops. So we just need to formally do those appointments, which were agreed upon.
I have a question. On the substitute, 12.1, on the substitutes list, are these folks all certified? What is the requirement to be a substitute teacher, I guess, is the question.
2 years of college, right?
Yeah, we do, some are not certified teachers. We do we look for college experience. A certified teacher is paid at $95 a day, and a non-certified is $75 a day. They interview. They come in an interview, they go through background checks, reference checks.
Fingerprinting.
It's good to have a nice list available.
No, I agree. So it's just they have to have 2 years college and then complete our process. That's
correct.
The
correct.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the appropriate time to have the discussion. But do we make an effort? You know, obviously you'd prefer to have a certified teacher in your classroom, even if it's just for a day, do we make some sort of effort to go with a certified option before seeking out a non-certified option?
Absolutely, we look for certified teachers.
No, I just mean in terms of like on a day that you have the process of getting a substitute in for the day.
We strive to do that, but we do use a system which
still
contacts subs for us.
Okay.
Many times you don't know until that morning that a teacher may be out, and the system that we utilize assists in contacting the available subs. Because the subs that are on this list may also be say Monroe Woodbury. Mm-hmm. So through this system, they may have been contacted by Monroe and they're not available for us.
Okay.
So within the system, I think the question might be, is there a way to put priority on the, I don't know, 10 or so that are certified teachers versus the others that are not?
Prioritize that.
This seems like it's not our system, like it's some sort of like...
It's exclusive to Tuxedo, like the people that we have interviewed and reference checked and background are on our list. But that's not to say they're not on other lists. We can manage substitutes that are on that list that, you know, they can't work over a certain amount of hours too.
I mean, how can we control, say we have a sub that only has 2 years of college, made it through the interview process, but the position we need filled is like high school level trigonometry. I mean, or math is more specific, you know, even like an ELA class in the high school. Do we have any control over, being that we can't control who responds first, who we're going to throw in that class? I mean, some of the people might be more suitable for GM or like...
depend on their availability as well.
But we can't discriminate once they're in our system, like we want this person and not this person in that class?
So I do know all our subs that come in. Mr. Sorensen did screen process for the substitutes. I meet with the substitutes and then we kind of identify if X and Y came in today, X is more suited for elementary and Y is more suited for high school, and that's what my need is, that's where I go.
Right.
But if I have X, Y, Z absent in the elementary school and Y and Z are high school teachers,
right,
I need them to fill that elementary position.
It's really more the opposite that I'm concerned about. Like, you know, you need X in the high school and Y and Z from GGM or what's available, then
I think
what we do.
The unfortunate part is, yes, we want certified teachers, mm-hmm. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but that does not always the case that that's the best person to put in a classroom. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But it's still the system that basically we need a sub, a notification goes out, and it's ever whoever responds first is...
Correct.
But we do have the ability
to turn on and turn off
mm-hmm. certain buildings.
And only subs can only work approximately 2.5-3 days a week.
But the other piece of that is there are subs that have an app on their phone.
Yep.
Yes.
That's the conversation we've had before.
Right.
Well, are all of them aware that an app exists, though?
You have to pay for it.
Oh.
It's a service you pay for. Yeah.
But then that's...
Or there may be some subs that are tipped off. You know what I mean? Because there's nothing we can do about it.
I have to say, subs are hard to find. Qualified subs are very hard to find. And most of these subs... will register with surrounding school districts.
Okay. So it does depend on their availability as well. Yeah, some of the subs that you
not
see
all.
On here are students who are in college, mm-hmm. but we get them approved so that when they're home on breaks, if we need them,
mm-hmm.
they can come in. So, you know, all of these people are not available all year long.
Okay.
Do we have a motion to approve item 12.1?
I just have one more question. And I had asked a brief question about this historically, but I just wanted to round it out. So I noticed in looking at the personnel that we don't have coaches assigned for modified sports teams for boys on that personnel list. So I just wondered if, I'm assuming we're still offering the modified sports for boys, we're just kind of waiting to organize ourselves. I just wanted to inquire to make sure we had enough staffing, or will we need to go out for looking for...
Mr. Landry will find a coach.
He'll twist somebody's arm.
He's been doing it for 30 years.
Right. Well, no, I just looked. I was like, oh, Matt was on modified. I'm sorry. I noticed who was on modified sports last mm-hmm. year, and that there was a change. And I just looked at that. Okay. So
so we're putting them all together, so I...
You could do 12.2, 12.1.
Well, I don't think we went through, I guess I made the motion in the second on 12.1, but we never approved it, so all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then a motion to approve items 12.2 through items 12.5.
Second. Motion.
Second.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
13.1, I had sent the district-wide safety plan to the board for your review. They're not going to have any questions. There weren't changes made to that. What it is the board would be authorizing, having had reviewed the district plan and readopting the 2016-17 plan as the 2017-18 plan. This plan is posted on our website. It's mandated that we send this to the police by October 15th. I've worked with our Orange Ulster Police and Safety clients person on this plan.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Well, you took that agenda. Okay, where are we?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. So
now we're reviewing the
BOE
policies.
I'll put under the restroom.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
Hold on, now.